So we're not going to do. We're not going to take new stack yet. Now we're going to go to Neil Voss. Neil Voss, go ahead.
Hi, Bertel. Have you been able to get the $1,400 from Good Search?
Actually, I have not been able to get it. I've had another member of this committee trying to help me get it, and she's, you know, baffled that we haven't gotten it. I've looked at bank accounts to look at all the deposit slip and all the checks that came in. We have not gotten that money from them. And even though that person on this committee had reached out to them and then they had promised they were going to send the money.
So they promised to send the money and you haven't gotten it yet? Berto?
No, I'm sorry, no. I was on mute.
All right, so they promised, you did everything you had to do to get the money, and they promised to send the money, but they haven't done it yet.
I wouldn't say I personally did anything to get the money, but I had members of this committee reach out to them, and then they had promised they were sending the money.
So all right, the only thing I have to say is that I'm a little bit concerned that you haven't gotten the money yet, and that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Okay, next is Jim Dingman. Go ahead.
Thank you, R. Paul. I know that Jim Sackerton and others are aware of this. We hopefully will get a pretty circumscribed underwriting motion passed at the National Board in the next week or so. So it will allow a little trickle of income that can come in to help all the stations in this terrible hour of need. Now, Bertold, in terms of the fundraising from foundations, what's going on with that? I mean, what are your ideas about how we can, because, you know, that's always a big weakness. There's no development director, as you know, that was very difficult when we did have a development director actually to approach foundations if I recall. She came to the LSB at one point when we met over on in Lower Manhattan at that Arab American Cultural Center, and she had mentioned that she had discovered that nobody had registered WBA with the Department of the State of New York for a long time. So hence, there was no way to get money from, for example, the New York City State Council on the Arts or Humanities. So I'm just wondering what thoughts you have on that issue, how what help you need. And secondly, you know, look, you know my thing, man. It's just like, you know, we got to get that audience up. We got to get that audience up big time because 80,000 is great, but it's you know, we got to get up to 160,000 to 250,000. Then we would be less stressed. And that's going to be a problem with the CPB because the more I'm investigating this, the more they are actually have pretty rigid rules about the amount of people who have to be actually listening to a station in the metro area. They actually will determine whether they feel, according to that criterion, that a station actually is serving the public good. So we have problems in New York. We have problems, a lot of problems in Houston and certainly in Los Angeles right now. And finally, the issue of revenue is I'm glad that people are talking about that because that's always been my big critique about what goes on in this committee. You know, the revenue situation is based on our public perception. And so let's assume that the programming is great. Okay, I don't feel that way, as you know, but let's assume that it's great. What can we do in the short term to increase the public awareness in New York City and the tri-state area about the fact that we even exist? Because when you look at how companies in situations like this, that is, you know, we're you know, in a, you know, near Chapter 11 situation throughout the whole network, they generally are able to get out of it by increasing the amount of publicity they have. They actually will spend more money on their publicity budget, and that will take them out of it. Now, we know we don't have the money to do that. So I'm wondering what thoughts you have about how we can actually substitute for the lack of revenue and try to actually heighten the awareness in a positive way of the programming at the station. Thanks.
All right. So I came up with an idea a long time ago, like 7-8 years ago. The network just never paid attention to it. At the time, we had a little more money in the network, and I suggested that since WBI cannot afford to pay a professional company to do some marketing and promotion of WBI itself, $2,500 a month from each station going to the national office specifically to pay a professional company to do marketing for whatever. It could be marketing for this or marketing for that. It doesn't matter. But if you had marketing, a marketing company that knew what they were doing, you know, I mean, I don't care if that money was spent and then they did marketing in L.A. or in Berkeley. As long as they, you know, we had a professional organization, and then once those stations took off, then they could go from station to station. We cannot afford $20,000 a month to pay a company, but $2,500, you know, times five stations, you know, would take us a long way. $12,000 a month, I'm assuming, well, you know, it's very expensive, those companies, but $12,000 a month, we can probably, you know, start something. And so that's my first pick. The second pick is we did have Andrea Katz. When I fought with the board and then hired her on a temporary basis, the first year she tripled her salary. Second year she doubled her salary as a development director. And then we went into the whole crash of WBI, and then she can transform herself from development director to, you know, another administrative person, making sure everything worked properly. So there was only basically just her and I, really, and the webmaster. Now I have Linda, me and Linda and the webmaster, but before that it was just Andrea Katz and I managing the whole station. So we need, you know, infusion of cash, some big rich person would give us, I don't know, $200,000-$300,000 specifically to pay for development and marketing. I believe that will work. And to piggyback off what you said, to answer Mario, when we had three people pitching, we had a morning show host strip for 2 hours paid. We had a public affairs director who spent a whole, you know, like every day, 9 to 5, you know, focusing on putting those things together. We had community outreach person. The program director had an assistant. The general manager had an assistant. And all of those people, and then we had a fund drive coordinator. So all of those people were putting together, organizing, and streamlining this. It just doesn't happen. It just does not happen because you just tell producers to do this, or you try to get it done. It was a whole team of people that put that whole thing together.
Okay, Jim, are you done?
Yeah, I'm done.
Okay. All right, some fast stuff we got to do here before we do anything else. I'm going to ask, let's see, Jack DePalma actually asked for an excused absence, but he's not here. William Heerwagon here? Pat Logan, is Daryl McPherson here? Is M.K. Williams here? Okay, none of them are here.
Wait.
Yes, who's this? Hello, who's that? Okay, somebody's saying wait, but now I hear nothing. All right, are you on mute? What's going on? Okay. This meeting is to focus on the WBAI FY23 budget. Now, so far we've discussed a lot of things, but a lot of it's been sort of nebulous and, gee, Bertel, why don't you do something that's going to be out there, and, you know, from all of this going on, we're talking about things that maybe Berthold could consider, and maybe something might happen 6 months from now or a year from now. There is this budget. There are concrete numbers in the budget. We need to pay attention to that. Are we going to, is somebody going to come up with something that will make those numbers change? Or are we going to say, okay, you know, there are all these things we're talking about, but we're not going to suggest anything that's going to make those numbers change? And, you know, basically, we got to focus, folks. We've got 65 minutes before, well, actually less than that, before this item is up. And so I would really appreciate it if we could concentrate on the numbers. If you see something in the budget, and I sent the budget out to the mailing list before this afternoon, again, so you've gotten it twice. And if somebody has something that has a specific line and you want to have a question on how are we doing with that, or make a suggestion for doing something with that that is not like 6 months in the future, please do that. Otherwise, you know, people can have these discussions that we keep having in Pacifica all the time, anytime. Right now, let's concentrate and focus on this particular budget that is going to go somewhere at some point in time. Okay, so I'm going to do a new stack. Is there anybody who hasn't spoken yet?
Michael White to the stack.
Okay, Michael White. Anybody else who hasn't spoken yet?
Nancy Sybar,
now
tell me, please.
That's Nancy. Okay. Okay. Anybody else who hasn't spoken yet?
Matt.
Okay, Matt Mazza. Anybody else who hasn't spoken yet who wants to get on the stack? Going once, twice, three times. Okay. Michael D.D. White, go ahead.
Yeah, I want to go back to what we headlined with way back at the beginning of this discussion, which is the equilibrium or the lack of growth with respect to the budget, the buddies, which we spend a lot of time pitching. So I want to ask Berthold about that equilibrium, because we must be taking on a lot of new buddies and we at the same time losing buddies. And I'm wondering if we have certain shows where the buddy complement is extremely volatile. If we have areas where we are taking on a lot of new buddies and areas where we are losing a lot of the old buddies. And I wonder, I'd like to know how the buddies are correlating. We do have audience growth, and with audience growth, we shouldn't just have equilibrium in the long run, at least. I know it takes time to get a result and a, you know, loyalty, et cetera. But in terms of individual shows or show areas, where are we losing buddies? Where are we gaining buddies? Where is the volatility? And where is the you know, the strong equilibrium where shows remain solid or and maybe grow?
Give me a quick second. Our BI buddy has been pretty steady. I mean, I didn't do. You know, a detailed analysis of the BI buddy, but like the BI buddy has been more or less steady. You know, it goes from, you know, all WBI shows, you know, and then we get the Leonard Lopez, you know, Democracy Now, There We Know, David Rottenberg, Morning Earth, you know, Con Sabor Latino. So these are the top BI buddies that we have on a regular basis. That's just the way it is. That's the way. That's what we have. You know, low bid gets about brings us about $800. Democracy Now! Brings about $650. Yeah, we know. 547. You know, things like that. You know, so it goes up and down. You know, I mean, I can look at which shows are gaining or losing buddies. We do have a few people who send us email letting us know that they are sorry that they just cannot afford it anymore. So even if we were to identify the buddies who are losing buddies, it would not really be a reflection necessarily on the shows. It's because people are broke. You know, it seems like some of the shows that address these people issues, like housing, prison and stuff like that, would be the shows where we would have a much higher rate of losing people who cannot afford it anymore.
Our pool, okay. Mario, to the stack.
Were you done, Michael White? Michael White? I guess you were done. Let's see. Next is Nancy.
Saibara Naratomi.
Yeah. Nancy Saibara Naratomi. Go ahead.
Yes. Did I miss anything? Was there a report about, like, calling personally to the lapsed donors, lapsed members?
We mentioned that very quickly. I have 400 at least of. We have a list of. We have a list of 343 buddies who are buddies in April 2021, are no longer buddies now. And, and I'm trying to. See if I can actually I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 people plus me 7 calling 30 of those people. So that's 210 people. We'll see what happens with that. We have not done mailing in a long time. We do send email, but we are definitely going to do some mailing soon at the end of this fiscal year. At the end of September, to all those people who are no longer members.
Okay, so you don't have any already finished. you've got them back to. Okay, all right. I'm repeating, but I will just remind in case some of the other people did not hear. But we just did a few days, only a few days. About 3 or 4 people called and got 84 renewals, and they gave $8,400. So that was just a small effort. It was volunteers with one staff. We have only 3 staff, okay, that are paid. One staff was together so she could, you know, be there overseeing. It was at a not in the station. It was at another volunteer has a big office, and he allowed that. I wanted to ask about the paid. So please do that. And then when they did, they asked them for input, and that is really good. So they know the members know that the lapsed members know that their input is important, and not just their money. So that would be important, too, to add. The other thing I wanted to know is the volunteer pitchers. I mean, you have volunteer pitchers, right? Or are
yes.
they all paid? Okay. Well,
no, we have volunteer pitchers.
Good, good. And do you have like singers and actors or directors or people who are well known or trusted that you've reached out to be volunteer pitchers? I think that's wonderful.
Not really.
Wonderful.
Our volunteer pitchers are our producers, really. You know, like, you know, we have our producers pitching. We know, I mean, we have Michael Hoskins, who's also a board app. We have our you know, program director who pitch. We have Catherine Davis, who helps us pitch. We have James Ersing, who was a good pitcher. And then Mimi Rosenberg pitches her own show. We do not have that many. We also have Felipe Luciano when he's put together with Tony Bates. He makes us quite some money. And so that's what we have, more or less, at the station. That's why it's go-to pitchers.
Well, you have Broadway there. You know, you've got so many actors there. They would love to have their name, their voice on the air, right? I mean, I would ask. Maybe I don't know who's close to those people. Maybe you're Rottenberg. Well, anyway, I was just thinking. I have heard Jane Fonda on WBAI pitching a short pitch. When I listened, I guess that was last year. Why don't you reach out to those actors? I mean, there was once a time when people would line up to speak on WBAI for the history, Howard Zinn's History of American, I forgot the name of the title. And another thing, maybe you might consider, of course, this is not, this is going to ask nonprofit groups for donations to the station and present them with a plan, like Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women. That motion passed by the PMB last year. We need to start getting that program going. I'm helping to organize it. Tell them, are you interested in this? Would you donate money, sort of like a grant, to WBAI? And we could do that with the other groups, too. The Missing and Murdered Black Women. The PNB has yet to pass that. I mean, they're sitting on it. I don't know why they're not doing anything with it. And we have not made yet, but a Missing and Murdered Brown Women and Missing and Murdered Trans Women. I mean, these are kind of, who's doing it? Okay.
Anyway,
and then another thing is your staff, your paid staff. Maybe y'all have a meeting together and talk about voluntary salary cuts, just a small amount or a medium-sized amount or something. But deficit budget is not good, and it's a big one. And KPFT also did a deficit budget. I did not vote for it, but, I mean, let everybody get together and talk about this. That's all. Thank you.
Okay. So I'd like to quickly answer some of the things. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay. So we have David Rottenberg with a theater ticket, and that's one of the items on our budget. And the theater ticket brings about $6,000 a month, about $1,500 a week. So that's about $70,000 a year. We also have Marcia Pendleton, who does, you know, black artists. You know, there's a show, an art show we have put together at 9 o'clock on Thursday night. That's very popular. We actually have, I think, 20 pair of tickets given to us. A Risen in the Sun, I believe, is the show. And we have another play. So the way we reach out to our actors is to David Rottenberg and then to Marcia Pendleton, that reaches out to actors, is to plays, mostly people on Broadway, that give us a couple of pairs of tickets. We're having a big fundraiser with Contrabajo Latino, Spanish music. We have four bands of very famous Latino promoters and producers. I think Eddie Palmieri might even be in there. They're giving us their services for free. So, but we will make like $12,000 to $15,000 net profit at that event. It's good, but it's not that much money. It's something I would have to do every month or every other month for it to make a difference. As far as getting the paid producers together, well, I can tell you that these are union people, and they have not gotten a raise since for like 16 years. They've gotten a very small raise, an adjustment, while the cost of living in New York is horrendous. That would be very difficult. Asking them to participate more and then to contribute in pitching and getting together might be a better way to go. And thank you for suggesting that. I would definitely follow up on, you know, volunteering, calling people to renew their membership and see how that goes. We can definitely generate that list. And I think I've answered all your questions, and then I will follow up on some of, definitely on the, you know, calling the LAPS members again. I mean, we usually email them, but calling them might be more efficient.
Thank you.
Oh, and as far as covering certain aspects of society, I mean, we have a prison show where we highlight a lot of these issues. So we should be able to, we should be getting grants for people who support, you know, our prisoners. We have that show for a long time. It's very strong. We have a show on housing. It talks about how to go about getting help when you're getting evicted and that kind of stuff. So we have shows that do address those issues. It's just that we need to target the groups that support those people, those different minority groups, and get the grant from them.
Yes, at KPFT we have $12,000 only for the prison show to make sure it doesn't go away. We don't have any other grants for any other shows.
Okay.
R. Paul, Mario to the stack.
Hold on.
Get to the stack. R. Paul.
All right, we're not taking a stack right now. The next person is Matt. Matt, go ahead.
Okay. I would just like to comment on Mario. We are not used car salesmen. That was kind of non sequitur. You see, you go to any network, who has so many people that come in for no pay on a volunteer basis, produce radio programs, and do other things? You see, BAI, it's not a money-making thing. Yes, we need the money, but you could promote the station, and you contact people, promote the station, and when they listen, they'll catch on, they'll hear enough pitching on the air, and they will then come up with something. Also, David Rothenberg, he did $2,500 last week, $3,000 this week. Now, we have to get him a check. I'm not mentioning any names here, but somebody has to write a check for the amount that he spends, that he lays out to buy the books. And if we do that, we'll buy more books and he'll make more money. He does very well with them. So, we can promote the state. Carry a CD with you. We have a WBAI audio promotion CD. I can give out a couple of those. Carry them, give them to somebody, give them to a friend. They'll listen. And that would be a way of building listenership. Just promote. Don't go asking for money, try to sell. Yeah, just get them listening. They'll catch on. I get checks in the mail every day. You should see some of the letters that people send, information they've gotten, health situations that they've resolved. You know, they list their favorite shows. So, I mean, this is the way to go. But we are not used car salesmen. And it's not about, we're not in the business. That's why we don't take advertising. Who at Fox 5 would come in and volunteer, produce a program, and not get paid? you know, or NYC even. Maybe they have some volunteers. Or INS. Think about that. That's my comment. Thank you.
Okay. Let's see. All right. We can do another stack. Is there anybody who hasn't spoken yet who would like to be on the stack? Okay, I don't hear anybody. Anybody want to go for a second shot at the stack?
Mario.
Yeah, Jim, please. Jim.
Mario.
Mario.
Dingman. I have Mario, Jim Dingman. Who else?
Doreen.
Robert.
Okay, well, I'd like to ask a question.
Okay, will you, okay, let me see here. Yes, you are here. Is Daryl McPherson here? William Heerwagon? No. Okay. So I have Mario Mastrandrea, Jim Dingman, Serene Roberts, M.K. Williams. Anybody else want to be on the stack?
James.
Staggerton?
Yes.
Okay. Anybody else? I am going to put K at the top of it because K hasn't spoken yet.
Thank you.
Manage, hold on a second. If I can manage to move this, God, you know, you upgrade your damned word processor and it becomes crazy. All right, so I have M.K. Williams, Mario Mastrandrea, Jim Dingman, Serene Roberts, James Staggerton. That should be it for a while. And again, please try to focus on this budget for various issues here. Thank you. Kay, go ahead.
Well, I've been to several meetings where I've heard that there are cuts, that DAI is supposed to cut. I don't know how we can cut anything more than we've cut. And yet there are stations like KPFA and KPFK that still have large, many more employees, paid employees, than DAI has. So I just wonder how come this keeps happening. It seems like, I mean, they should level the playing field and not cut from stations until there's a certain percentage of, they should decide what percentage of staff that you know, they need to cut. And if those stations that are sort of bloated with employees, if they have extra money, then let them help DAI or help KPFT or help PFW with whatever they've got left over when they've cut their staff. I don't understand why this issue doesn't get dealt with at the national board. I mean, that's my question to the people who are on the board, the national board, and ignore that. Bye. I'm going to mute and just wait and let somebody answer.
Okay. Mario,
well,
okay. Bertold, you're going to answer that?
Yeah, I think it's difficult to manage that. You know, I mean, if a station produces enough money, you know, to justify some of their expenses, you know, so they kind of do not like the idea of having to cut if they can produce enough revenue to do certain things. You know, the problem WBI has is that, you know, we have rent and a tower rent, which comes to about $22,000, pretty close to what our deficit is per month, which is because we do not have a space. And then, you know, like we're in LA and in Berkeley, and I believe in Houston too, that they do not pay for the rent. And then they do not pay for the tower rent. We in New York, we pay $17 a month for a tower rent and $5 for renting the space where we are. So we're spending $23,000 a month that we could have used to pay essential service. That's about the essential service amount. So that is the dilemma we're facing. And, you know, we had a building. We lost it because of the George Carlin lawsuit, where we're trying to fight for free speech. So, you know, we kind of, you know, that it is what it is. you know.
Berthold, just let me interject here. I don't think George Carlin is the reason we lost the church. It was much closer to home with people doing stupid things at BAI. Anyway, all right, so Mario, you're next.
Okay, that's a good segue, people doing stupid things at BAI. Now, one, I'd like to address what the chair asked moments ago, which was to focus on the budget. It's we've reached a point at the Finance Committee and the finances at BAI that outside of maybe letting go of the independent contractors and asking for volunteers, Berthold would probably, I'm going to answer for him, hey, can we cut anything else from that budget? And the answer is no. So it goes, you quickly move on to, well, if we can't cut anything else, then the conversation naturally shifts to how can we increase revenue, and that's what this whole thing is about. There's nowhere else I think we could maneuver that budget outside of making a repeater station, outside of getting rid of the rent, outside of maybe finding a cheaper tower. So outside of all that, now, in 2013, there were major cuts that happened, and then all this kind of was starting to get exposed to even trickle down to even the junior participant in the politics of these networks. And it was, like, surprising to everyone. And I said it then. I said, well, if you don't – I said to Summer Reese, the temporary executive director at the time, now's your chance – to get rid of 75% of your programmers and 75% of your staff and get all new people. Bring in fresh ideas. Because you can't solve these problems with the same people who created them. And it just continues. There's no more time to debate Mario Mastandrea and his witty and wry suggestions like everybody else. You know, you can't debate me on the air. There's no more time. It's time for action. It's time for ideas. It's interesting that my fellow participant here from KPTFX, from Texas there, she had wonderful ideas. And they created results. And Berthold comes on, and his response is, well, this is what we have, and this is what we're doing. It's not what she said. It's not like, whoa, I'll get a team right away and get on that. This is what it is. So I still feel this. I still talk this way because I feel, gee, maybe they'll turn the corner. Enough people will be gone or they'll wake up and they'll start really listening to the people who have listened and participated at BAI. You don't need marketing people. Because once that marketing stops or slow down or you cut back on the marketing, people you lose what the marketing creates. So you need appeal. The BAI's lost its appeal. What has it done in the last 20 years that made it lose its appeal? It's very simple. You could fix your own problems. You know, the ideas are here within the network. You don't need no person who went to college. You know, people who went to college and they do marketing, they do stupid things like at Trader Joe's. They cut one of their major products. I said, somebody went to college and sat at a meeting and figured this out, and they said, let's cut that product. Nobody checked with the customers. So I would invite people to, you know, it's wonderful. Stop debating me, and, you know, let's get out there and, you know, the answer was, it came to me, I said, you know what, they created amazing results. What was the station like when it created results? It had more appeal, more participation by its membership. And yeah, there were more interesting people, more, you know, Michael Parenti and the other guy was mentioned just a while back, last name with a Z, whatever, I forgot. Anyway, you know, these people are disappearing, but you got to go out and you have to enroll people to what you're doing. It's sales. How do you develop what you have and the producers and try to assemble some kind of thing to increase participation, maximum participation, and maximum exposure of your station? Two things. How do you increase you don't need to go get a marketing person. There's a lot of people within the network here or at the station who have who've been around. They have the essence of what kept people interested. You know, one of the stupidest things that they ever did, and forget about all this malarkey about lawsuits, was to cut the volunteer program to answering phone calls. People could have been vetted. There could have been ways to do it. Every little thing that's happened in the last 20 years to decrease the participation of the audience and the people, you have what you have. You have to increase your participation and increase your exposure. And you get answers like, well, we don't have a budget for marketing. You know what? In 2013, you have more of a budget. And it just kept dwindling down. Now, it's gotten to the point where the place on Times Square, which was, oh, look at this breathing room. We don't have the Empire State Building at $50,000 and the rent at 110 Wall Street. Wow, amazing. And I said, same people behind the scenes with some kind of agendas, in my opinion, not the opinion of this committee, and it just creates the same results, man. So go out and create, you know, rack your brains out on how do we increase participation now and increase our awareness with what we have, with what we have. You know, that our colleague there mentioned what they did on the phone. That required participation, volunteers. You know, instead we get debate. You know, ideas are kind of like, you know, like, oh, okay, I heard you, but this is what we got. You know. Okay, thank you very much.
All right, Jim Dingman, go ahead.
All right, let me just follow up on what Mario said. I'm sure we can do what Nancy suggested in spades in New York because we've done it in spades in the past. Everyone here knows we eliminated 2,000 premium problems with people with phone calls. So we can do that again. It's not something we can't do. In fact, Bertolt was there when I made about $5,000 or $6,000 in a couple of hours. You know, that was making phone calls. So that can be done again. All this has to rest on something, and I'm going to start sending this out. This is a history of Pacific done in 1986 that nobody's really aware of. It was done internally for the organization. It's going to blow people's minds because the stuff that's in there basically is that, you know what, if shows can't sustain themselves in terms of supporters, time to go. That's the gist of the 1950s and early 60s debates by the founders of the foundation. I repeat, if you can't sustain yourself, and you see it in the mission statement where it says everything should be as self-sustaining as possible, time to go. And we got grids filled with shows that people justify for any reason they want, all sorts of reasons. They accuse people of all sorts of pejorative comments. And then the people doing these shows are defending shows that make less than 200 to 300 people an hour listening to them in metro markets of 15, 16 million, 11 million, 7 million, all the markets of the stations in the system, okay? Now, our colleague in Texas was talking about these must-carries, these policies. She's bringing up missing children and all that. You know, I'm the only person here who's actually had to deal with that in their personal life. So I have to say, I get a little irked when I hear that, because I had to spend like almost 12 years of my life dealing with that in ways that none of you can fully grasp, including, by the way, going to Capitol Hill lobbying black congressmen from the delegation of the city of New York who did not know how many black kids in their districts were abducted, okay? And I'm talking about doing this in 1993, 94, 95. I repeat, Congressman Rangel, he didn't know anything about it. He thought it was a white girl problem until I sat there and laid out to him all the names. So I have to say that when I hear this focus on these terrible situations with Native Americans, these terrible situations with black women and these groups in Maryland, it's an issue I've unfortunately had to deal with in the past, and I know a lot about it. I don't talk about it much, but I know a lot about it because I was paid to lobby and organize people in Congress, in Albany, and throughout the city of New York to organize and agitate about that issue. So I will deal with it, but I'm going to deal with it with the knowledge I have of having dealt with it in the past, concretely as someone who experienced it, not someone who intellectually decides, oh, let's take advantage of this opportunity to do something in this issue, which was going on, by the way, in 1993, 94, 95 when I was doing it. Now, finally, they're going to come in here, and they're going to make their cuts, and whether we like it or not, and it would be rather arbitrary, admittedly, I know that we have to figure out a way here concretely to raise the amount of money a month and knock out that $30,000 deficit. That's the key problem to solve. All the other stuff is a bunch of bullshit, all right? And I have to say, even though, you know, people have their problems with this, those here who were members of the CAB will know that we had 15 to 16 or 17 people out there during Atlantic Annick when we were handing out those leaflets. Now, as I understand it, there's only one person or two people this weekend who are going to be out there in that crowd handing out leaflets and palm cards. So I would call on those who were in those efforts in the past to coordinate with Bertold, coordinate with Rachel Barr, and make sure that there's 15 or 20 people out there handing out the palm cards. In fact, we're going to run out of them because if you guys recall, we handed out thousands of them and ran out of them in a couple hours. But just, you know, there's a lot of stress on everybody right now because of these financial situations. And everybody has different solutions. My, as those of us know, and I've been there, we have a lot of people who've been in management on the boards, et cetera. The main thing is how practically we can get out of this mess. And there are, unfortunately, some hard decisions that are going to have to be made pretty soon that are going to affect people. And I laid on the people in the past who didn't do a damn thing about this for the past 25 to 30 years when they had inflection points to make these decisions and they didn't do shit. And that includes people on this phone call, frankly. So, you know, keep in mind the only we're not in any other business except producing sound on the air. That's what compels people to come to listen to us. That's it. That's our product. And if people aren't listening to us, if people are not sending money to us, the whole theory of listener sponsorship is based on the fact that, well, maybe time to go for that show. And if we're continually not facing that question, we are not structurally trying to radically change the dilemmas we're in. We're just going to be back in the same position all the time, to the point where we're going to owe more money, and there's going to be even have to be more dramatic kind of decisions made, whoever has to inherit that at the PNB level in the future. So people got to get down to the brass tacks. They got to get beyond all the bullshit that they have with each other. And, you know, as I say, Ms. Barr needs a lot of help this weekend. You know, people got to go out there and help her out. You know, help out the station to get publicized in the public with the largest street fair in New York, aside from the West Indian Parade on Eastern Parkway. And that's it. You know, I don't want to hear some of these things anymore. I got just sick and tired of this shit. We just got to sit down there and figure out how we're going to move forward, how we're going to get the audience up 25, 50, 100%, and then go even further. Everything else is crap. Thanks.
Okay,
so
Serene Roberts is next.
I just want to correct something.
Oh, Bert, you got... Okay, go ahead, Bert.
Yeah, quickly. WBI listenership is just about the same as KPFA's listenership. And I want to reemphasize the fact that we lost a lot of our major donors. And that had to do with a lot of different things. One of them is we used to have a thing where we gave a dinner and a show to our listeners. We would give $2,000 to have to go with one of our famous producers. And then I think that made us lose a lot of our major donors. So just again, let me repeat. We almost have the same amount of supporters as KPFA. And then we are producing a lot less money. So there are people who have less money, first of all. Second, we probably lost a lot of major donors to that practice. And third, you know, WBA has been very proficient in criticizing Israel and criticizing different things that probably got us blackballed by a bunch of people, you know. And so we do not have the ability to analyze these things. We can just sense them and mention them. But as Jim Dimon says, a lot of people say, Bert, that's bullshit. It is not bullshit. These are things that are probably facts, but we don't have the money to analyze and point out clearly what has affected us. But those, we have to be clear, these things affected us. Just some of the same amount of people we have are giving a lot less than the same amount of people more or less at KPFA. We have been very harsh critics of Israel, and we have taken some strong positions. We had a fight between two factions of blacks, the vicious fight that reduced the support and the listenership. We have lost access to the community during those fights. Well, it was up to management to reestablish those connections, but we have not done a lot of that. We've done some of it. So these are also the things that need to be addressed. And how do we reach out to those communities? And how do we reach out to those major donors that probably, you know, left us from that situation that I mentioned?
Okay. Serene Roberts, you have the floor.
Thank you. There are programs on WBAI during which you actually don't hear the letters WBAI. That's a problem. You know, and whether someone is doing their show live or it's a pre-recorded podcast, the station's name has to appear in your program, and there has to be a sustained pitch. What's her name? Katie Halper does her stuff pre-recorded. It's a podcast, but she absolutely breaks in and says, "You're listening, you know, you're listening to this on WBAI." So whether they edit it in or they do it initially or whatever the case is, there should be no program that comes on to WBAI that doesn't celebrate WBAI. The preemption, the sort of the marvelous 52-week, you know, constant fundraising thing, I think, I mean, I certainly understand that management sees the programming grid in bi-monthly dollar-generating sections because you've got payroll twice a month, and that's where your focus is, on making sure this bill is paid, that bill is paid. But programmatically, it's a disaster to have a show that is off one-fourth of the time, and because listeners do not, or let me say, neither the listeners that I know well or people that I talk to that I'm not as close to really have committed to memory which week their show is on and which week their show is not. So you recommend something to someone or you tune in yourself, you arrange a schedule so you can hear something, and it's not there. That's a problem. That's how you lose audience. And yes, I know the archives are there, and the archives are great, and it's very helpful. But depending on what your schedule is and what your internet access is, you know, getting to something is not getting back to something is not as easy as it may seem. And maybe because I'm in the generation that actually uses a radio as a radio as opposed to your phone as your radio. But, you know, I think that's a real problem. I think setting up a schedule that says to people, your hour at 11 a.m. or at 7 a.m. or at 5 p.m. is to generate X number of dollars, and then put the folks on the air and tell them this is your goal. This is what you're expected to generate at the end of the month, whether you do it through specials that you want to push or you just do it regularly on an ongoing basis. This is what you're expected to generate. Without that, I don't think it's fair. The hours we hear, the overnights don't generate any money. Well, you know, there are actually some pretty great programs in the overnight. But if the decision is that the overnights aren't going to generate serious money, then let's look at something else to do with the overnights that will generate money instead of playing the same, magic mushroom card or program, excuse me, you know, repeatedly on and on and on and on. Let's decide what we're going to do with the overnights or part of the overnights to generate the money that is needed. I wrote something else that I can no longer read. But, okay, with regard to the development director, and I'm not going to go all the way back in history, but I will say that the development director, there was no announcement, there was no search. There was someone who said, hire my friend and I'll lend you the money to pay for it. And that contract was entered into without consultation with the board. I heard the manager just now say, oh, he had to fight with the board to get it. Yeah, well, that's not exactly how that went. And we know this because the person who lent the money later turned around and sued for the money, although the terms under which they lent it were quite questionable at any rate. I think a lot of the staff is frustrated. We know that initially people were told, push for buddies, and you have to raise, you know, generate so many, and then it turns out the website wasn't even recording when people's pledges were coming in. So no one had any real idea for a long time of what they were generating. So there was that little problem. And I think producers don't feel respected. I think that listeners also don't feel respected when promises aren't kept. There's still, you know, there's still people who have pledged money, and at this point they say, oh, you know, I know I'll never see their premium. But it's not so much that they thought they were buying a premium, as in when you make a promise, you're expected to keep that promise. The last thing I want to raise is that WBAI has two subcarrier channels, and subcarriers, for people who don't know, are these two little offshoots, if you will, off of our regular broadcast antenna. They require, the subcarriers require a special kind of radio. It's used very often by ethnic groups and religious groups. And in the case of New York, we have two of them. And the rents that are generated from those subcarriers go directly to the national office and is not credited to WBAI. It goes into the national office. It then decreases what the national office requires from all the stations, including stations that are doing very well. The same is true for KPFK. I don't know if they have a current tenant. I know at one point they had a tenant that was generating a very decent amount of money. Again, the station doesn't get credit for that money. It's fine to send it to the national office. That's not the issue. But the station should offset what the station is then required to contribute for central services. And those things would be on the income side for us and would lead towards a better looking budget, if not solve, you know, I mean, I won't get into the amount. I think some people think that that's executive session business, but it would certainly make a dent in what we're showing as a deficit. I'll stop there. Thank you.
Okay, and next is James Sagerton.
Oh, I remembered my last thing. Could I
Can I say it now?
Sure.
It's pretty quick.
Make it, please make it fast so James can get on.
It's pretty quick. There was a statement earlier about people having to use their, quote, legal names in order to join a committee. And I think perhaps not everyone knows the history. We've actually had people elected to the local station board using their aliases and elected and functioning on the national board using their aliases. So, you know, folks go around making blanket statements like they know all the history and they know all the rationale, and I think perhaps they don't. Thanks.